Now is it on? Okay. Anyway, back to Olive Garden. So when I went in there, and I got a meal that Morris could actually eat with no garlic in it, and I seen these pins, and I said, where'd you get those pins? And they use them at Olive Garden. They put your name on the bottom. I should have had them put Jess on here, but or Jesse for some of you. But I struck up this conversation with the boss and said, you have to understand, this is the direction I'm going the next 2 weeks in the sermons. Talk about family and how to minister to your family and how to bring your family to know Jesus. He said, well, that sounds interesting. It is. Come on out. But anyway, if you don't come out, can you at least give me one of your pins? So he gave me this pin. We're all family here. And he said, yeah, you're going to wear that to church? I said, you betcha. I'll have it on at church. And so if I ever go back in there again to get some non-garlic food for Marcella, I'll make sure I wear it back in. But anyway, on to the more important things. Today, what I'm going to talk about is the importance of investing. Anybody here invest in stocks? Not me. But some people do. It's you're investing your money. Sometimes it works out good and sometimes it doesn't, from what I've heard. But there's other investing. And what I'm going to talk about today is investing into people's lives. Investing into people's lives, your family, your kids, your spouse, your neighbors, your workers, your friends, anyone, investing into their lives and why that's so important. Now, the thing that got me started on this was all Cindy's fault back there. Because last week I seen on her paper that she filled out what to be praying for and pray for my unsaved family members. And I said, well, okay. And I asked her, can you make a list of their names? So she got us this list. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to learn how to minister to our family members, our neighbors, our friends, our relatives. Today is just the learning the importance of investing. And then next week, we get into some specifics. See, I said it. It just took three tries. Specifics of how to do that. A lot of them are in the Bible. Some of them I just know from practice. I've led literally dozens of family members to Jesus using these principles. And so I know they work. So next week, you don't want to miss next week. But you're here for the beginning. Now, on the little bulletin that Marcy puts together every week, I'm going to read the quote that's on there. If you have one, you can read it with me. And I'm going to read a verse that she used above that. And I'm going to share one more verse, and then we're going to take off. The quote is this. Of course, God does not consider you hopeless. Everybody say this. Of course, God does not consider me hopeless. If he did, he would not be moving you to seek him, and he obviously is. What's going on in you at present is simply the beginning of the treatment. Continue seeking and with cheerful seriousness until he wants you, and unless he wants you, of course he wants you, read the rest of the line, of course, unless he wants you, you would not be wanting him. That makes more sense. Finish the sentence, Jess. C.S. Lewis, everybody's heard of him. And then the quote from the Bible, this is from, you see, some days I just pray, God, I pray you just use me. If you want to make a fool out of me, you can, but use my words. And the one that was on this week's board, not last week's, I don't know how I got, is in 1 Thessalonians. You should look at your about bulletin. Does it say 1 Thessalonians? I think it's chapter 5. Is that right? And what's the verse? Not in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. What's the verse? 11. Therefore, encourage one another. Thank you. You're a good helpmate. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about the next 2 weeks is along those lines of encouraging other people. It's so tempting to jump into next week, but I'm going to bite my tongue. But I got one more verse to share with you. This is from John chapter 15. John 15, verse 13. And this is Jesus speaking, and it says this: greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that you would lay down your life for your friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did, right? He, in some ways, he was talking about himself. That's what he was shooting for, going towards, working towards, but it was for all of us too. So as far as witnessing and winning our friends and family and neighbors to Jesus, which again, next week are the specifics, but you have to be willing to see the people around you as more important than yourself. Otherwise, you would be so self-centered, you wouldn't want to try to witness, encourage them. So you have to be willing to lay your life down to do that. And we'll get into more of that next week. The thing that caused me to start getting ready, other than Cindy's prayer list, was I was called this week and asked to do a funeral on the 9th, Saturday, about a week and a half from now. Almost 2 weeks from now, from someone who was part of our church and was an associate pastor of mine for 25, 30 years. He was a doctor in Benton, Grant Clark. Some of you, I know Sylvia, you know who he is. And some of the other ones, locals at least, would know who he was. And he passed away, and they requested that I do the service for him down in Hershey. So Marsh and I are going to drive down together because we have to do tag team driving. It's like tag team wrestling. So when I'm getting tired, I said, I'll put my hand out there and she'll smack it and I'll pull over and I'll let her drive, because we're not good at long distance as much anymore. But we'll make it happen. So a lot of the things I'm going to share with you today are things that Grant and his wife, before she passed away, Barb, had sown into my life. He was about my dad's age. I was the pastor, but they were gracious towards me that I wasn't all that pastor savvy when I first started. So they just reached in and helped me and encouraged me in so many ways. The first time I met them, we had rented the United Methodist Church in above the hill over there in Jonestown, above the cemetery, and we were running this building on Sunday nights, and we had open services, and it's mostly my youth group that came, but I encouraged them to start inviting friends or relatives or their parents, and some of them did. And one of the couples that showed up was Grant and Barb Clark. And they seemed interested. They seemed like they were listening. And afterwards, Grant came up to me and said, "What are you doing tomorrow night for dinner?" I said, "Probably the same thing I do almost every night." He said, "What's that?" "I catch a trout and some crawdads, and I chow down." "What was your favorite food?" "Anything but trout or crawdads." And they said, "Well, come on up for dinner tomorrow night." And they invited me up for dinner. And they didn't have any crawdads, and they didn't have any trout. So I forget what it was, but whatever it was, it had to be a nice change. And we got talking and stuff. And let me share this little tidbit before we move on to that story about dinner. That before then, I was basically living in a 10 by 10 foot little shack. It used to be a tool shack on my grandfather's property down along the stream. And it was big enough. I had a piece of plywood on some 2x4s. That was my bed, and no mattress or anything. I don't think I even had a pillow. I used to just throw my shirt down there to lay my head on the pillow. And but it was fine. There was electricity in there, and there was a light. But I was living at that time because of one other couple in Jonestown, Ed and Fran Conduff. Maybe some of you remember them, knew them. They're both in heaven now. But they were the first to say, "You know, we really want to support your ministry, and we want to start tithing to you." And I said, "Well, that's amazing, Ed." He said, "What are you living on?" "Crawdads and trout." "Well, I'm going to give you our tithe." And he worked at Wise Potato Chips. He wasn't a driver, Bill. Bill's not here, but he made the chips. And every other week, I got this tithe check of $35. That's what I lived on back then. And how do you do it? On crawdads and trout. But one of the days, Ed gave me that tithe check to help live on. And I was ready to go to the bank the next morning and cash in my paycheck for the next 2 weeks. And God put this thought in your mind. Sometimes God puts thoughts in your mind that you really don't want to hear. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you want to just ignore them. Some people say that's Satan. No, it's God is the one that puts those thoughts in your mind. And the thought was this. Well, there's these three people in your youth group. And two of them happened to be the same name as Neil's dad and mom. There was Mike Hess and Beth Hess and a sister, Janet Hess. They all gave their lives to Jesus in our youth group. And the thought was, go take that $35 and buy them a cassette player. Yes, they had cassette players back then. And and give them some of your tapes to listen to, just so they can hear some worship Christian music. I said, well, okay, I guess it's more crawdads and trout. But I went and bought that, give it to them. They were very happy. And then that night, I was going to go over to Grant and Barb's house for my something other than trout and crawdads. So I showed up, and we got to know one another, and we shared where we're coming from with God and all. And he was a doctor over in Benton for 25 plus years, and they recruited him from California. He came out here. He didn't know a lot of people, but he said, "We really liked your service last night up at the church. We're so glad we came." And I said, "I'm so glad you came too. That looks like an amazing dinner. No trout, no crawdads." And by the end of the night, he said, "I've already talked to Barb. We feel like God wants us to tithe, you know, the scriptural way of supporting ministry, tithing. And our tithe will be every other week for $200. That would be neat even now, but back then, goodbye, crawdads, you know. I still eat them sometimes. But I went from $35 every 2 weeks to $235 every 2 weeks. That was like winning the lottery to me, you know. I could go out and buy a pack of hot dogs now whenever I wanted, you know, things like that. So that was my introduction to Grant and Barb and how they invested into me. It was the start of them investing into me. When I felt one day during my offering or my devotion time that God said, Jess, it's time to go out and get a wife. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have anybody in mind. I really don't. And then he brought to mind Marcy that I met up in Alaska several years before. What about Marcy? Ooh, she's a nice woman. You think she'll marry me, move to Jonestown, and eat crawdads? So I told Grant and Barb that I think I know who my woman's going to be. And I'm going to hitchhike to Bloomsburg out to Spokane, Washington, and see if she'll marry me. She didn't even know I was coming. And she married me anyway. But Grant and Barb, when I was leaving, the day before, I think I left on a Monday morning, and they said, Jess, if you bring Marcy back to be your woman that you call her, and you bring her back to this 10 by 10 foot shed, we're going to skin you alive. All right, I get the point. I might have to move into a house. And by the time we got back from our honeymoon, which was driving from Spokane all the way back here, and our car broke down 3 times. And it would be so easy for me to take off with these stories. But by the time we got back here, they had rented us a half of a house in Benton. It was like I had a warm bathtub. I had a mattress to sleep on. And a pillow instead of my shirt. You know, all these things that you take for granted. And investing into me. I'm coming to the place of letting you know that a lot of the things I have in my life of meaning and value and worth today because of someone like Grant and Barb who have invested into me. Not that I deserved it. It was something they felt God tell them to do. And you see, I'm going to use a lot of these things in the message that I give on the 9th down in Hershey. And because I want to make people see the value of investing. You know the house that they moved us into? Nobody else might not know this, but I didn't even know it until I moved there. And it was on the first, second floor, and it had an attic. And one day I climbed up these stairs to the attic, and it was full of boxes and books and papers and letters. And they were all written, the books were written, the letters were written to and from this guy called, Frank Lawball. Yeah, does anybody know who he is? There's signs going into Benton. The world famous Frank Lawball, world missionary. This is where he came from. And that's the house we started our wedding in. And pretty amazing, huh? There's 3 areas that I want to cover here and probably with Grant's family. The first area was Israel. Now, I was only 27 years old, 40-some years ago, when I first went to the Middle East, to Israel. And Grant loved and knew so much history, he could point out all these different places that Jesus was at and things that happened. And those were good. Those were and fun to see. The one I enjoyed the most was going down into Lazarus' tomb and looking up through there and thinking what it was like for Lazarus. But the thing that I enjoyed the most was just getting out and meeting the people. And Grant was a night person. I was a morning person. So in the morning, I got up early and took a walk along the beach or something like that and struck up conversations with these people. This one remember I remember was this older, probably retirement-aged lady that she was from Poland, a Jew from Poland, that she immigrated to Israel after the war, and just to get to hear her stories and hear about her life, that was interesting to me. But you know, 41 years later, because of God using Grant to invest in me, I mean, that was a fairly nice, expensive trip to take somebody on. And he did that because he felt like he wanted to invest in me some of the things that were important to him. Example, Israel. And 41 years later, who would ever guess that we're still connected with those people? We're still reaching out and ministering to them. We're still, as a church, tithing towards those ministries every week. Every penny you give here, a tenth of it goes to these missionaries. And one of them runs the youth camp, sister youth camp that we started in the Golan Heights about 2.5 years ago. And that's all because of someone invested into me. You know, you probably know where I'm going to, that if you can see how Grant invested into me and it meant so much and it's changed my life, and now it's the purpose of my life to invest in other people, how about you? Who are you investing your life into? And all you have to do is just pray and say, God, who should we be investing our life into? And we'll get into that next week even all the more, how to do that. But that's the reason I'm mentioning things like this. The second one was kids camp. This year, we're beginning about a month and a half from now, starting to plan for our 37th year of kids camp. And we've grown from about maybe 15 kids up to hundreds now every year. Last couple years, we've had as many as 11 different states represented, from campers to staff coming from all over the country. We've had some people come from out of the country, Canada. My one son, you would relate to this, Joe. My one son, Andrew, who was in the Marines, he was had stationed over in Iraq during the battle, and he was fighting. He had 10 days off, and he just showed up at kids camp the first day. I didn't even know he was getting off. I said, what are you doing here, Andrew? Reporting for duty. It's the kids camp, right? Yeah, what do you want to do? I want you to give me my own boys' team, and I'll treat them like a staff sergeant that loves them. Nice, he added the love in there. But he wanted to change the whole obstacle course to make it more like a Marine one. I said, Andrew, no parents would let the kids ever come back. But anyway, so he showed up in the middle of a war for his 10 days. And then he didn't tell us until it was 10 days or up, but he had to head back. I said, well, Andrew, thanks so much for coming. You did a terrific job with those boys, and they're going to hate to see you not come next year. And he has come back out of the Marines now, but he has come back and helped 2 years ago. He helped the whole week, maybe two weeks. But he invested his time. Grant and Barb, this was only 47 years ago, Not even that for kids camp. That's when I met him 47 years ago. It was 37 years ago when we started camp here. Grant and Barb brought Barb's parents to help at kids camp. Yeah, they were in their 70s. They came to help in the kitchen and cook and things like that. And then Grant and Barb were here. Anybody ever read the story Pilgrim's Progress? I read that years and years ago. It'd probably be good for me to read it again. But we did that as the theme for kids camp this year. It was Grant and Barb's idea. And do you remember that, Micah? And remember Tony Aratolo jumping out behind that thing and trying to scare you because she was one of the bad guys in Pilgrim's Progress? I'll have to tell Tony about that. Pardon? Yeah, yeah. And now it's ours. And Tony's one of the ones that helped us purchase that, by the way. So there's Grant and Barb. Barb's parents is two generations. All three of their kids came to kids camp. I think some of them were saved there. That's three generations. Almost all of their grandkids came there. That's four generations. I know TJ came from Wendy. Beverly. Josh was one of those kids that came. Josh has been praying with me about, Beverly's been praying with me about Josh. And God's just amazingly moving in his life. And his brother Sam and sister Debbie, they all came. So that's four generations. And a couple years ago, Debbie brought little Ellie. Not Allie, but Ellie. And so they've had five generations of kids come of just their family from kids camp that they had this vision to help me start. Isn't that amazing? How you see, you have to be in this thing for the long haul to really see the significance of what God can do. But it's going to be that way with your families too. Be in for the long haul. And I'm thinking for myself, when my four oldest grandkids, Estelle and Lydia, Garrett and Malachi, they must be helping. Oh, there they are. The first one of you four that gets married and gives me a great grandkid, and I'll hold them in my arms while I'm worshiping here and praying over them. That'll be six generations for me. Not to mention my great-great-grandfather, 97, that God helped me lead to Jesus, but that was before kids camp. I mean, six and seven generations. That's almost unheard of. It's almost hard to believe, but it's the truth. And so, again, it came about to a degree, a very real degree, because of people like Grant and Barb investing into me. Our outreach to Israel and where we are today, kids camp and where we are today, and Loving Choices. It's our pro-life organization down in Bloomsburg. They encourage people to keep their babies from going, being murdered in abortion. And it happens. And I can at least count on one hand families that I've ministered to that went through that and were devastated even to the day that I was praying with them about what they did. But they can be forgiven, and now some of them are some of the best spokeswomen for other people that are considering it. The lady that started it was Patty Stout. You probably met her a couple years ago. She came on a Sunday morning and shared about her testimony. And Grant and Barb was from our church that we sent them down there to work with Patty. And that was about 25 years ago. And I don't know what the current number is. I know since we started that, we've saved over 500 babies that we know of from being aborted. 500 babies. And that's probably maybe half of really what happens, because a lot of people they don't tell you. You just don't know. But God knows. And one of the neatest stories, Patty Stout that started this, said, Jess, after she spoke, let's go in the office. Me and my husband, we have something we'd like to share with you. So we went in there, the three of us, and they said, you remember so-and-so? Yeah. What about him? Well, he was a counselor at your kids' camp, wasn't he? Yeah, for several years. He was one of our counselors. He led several people, several guys to Jesus. Well, let me tell you a little story about this guy. His mom wanted to abort him, and a friend from a church down in Riverside by Danville said they had a family that would love to adopt him. There's more people in America that would love to have a chance to adopt somebody, but there's not enough to be being adopted to fill all those buckets because a lot of them are killed. And so this family from Danville adopted this little boy that was going to be aborted, grew up in the church, loved his mom and dad, came as a camper, came as a counselor here, led other people to Jesus. This is somebody that God saved. In part because of you guys supporting what we're doing here, down there. This is amazing, isn't it? So, you know, between Israel and between kids' camp and between loving choices, all because someone else had the willingness to invest their time, their money, and their energy into me. And you can have the same kind of impact. It might take you 45 years, but it'll be worth it. Can you see what I'm saying? You have to be in it for the long haul. But I'm nobody special. I've been called a country punkin. Is that right? Duncan? Punkin? I don't even know what they called me, but I say, well, you can call me whatever you want. I just love Jesus. And it can happen with you too. So, in closing, be willing and courageous enough to invest yourself into other people's lives. We're going to talk about how to do that next week. You don't want to miss next week. Practical ways of helping these people come to know Jesus in an amazing, encouraging way. Be in it for the long haul. Your family, your spouse, your relatives, your kids, your grandkids, your co-workers. And obviously, you have to be led by the Spirit. Some people aren't going to be willing, right now at least. And you can only do that. You only have 24 hours a day. If you were to do that to everybody on your prayer list, you might as well forget sleeping and eating. And then you're only good for a couple days. So you pray and say, God, that's one of the things we're going to do next week. If you want to come with a prayer list of people you would like to see saved, like Cindy did, gave to me, and then praying with you guys, Joe and Cindy, about her family, go ahead and write those people down that come to mind that you would like to see come to know Jesus. And then what you're going to do next week is I'm going to say, okay, we're going to just take a minute now. You look at your list, or you have it up here. Pick one or two that you want to start with investing into. So you can do one or two, right? It's not the whole world. It's just one or two. And I'm going to give you ways to how to do that in a way that will bring amazing results. So that's it. All because of this grant. Came from Oregon because they wanted to hire a doctor in Benton. They never had a doctor in Benton before. And he just happened to come to one of our meetings. You know, speaking of kids' camp, I know, I could ramble on for 2 hours, 3 more hours. The boy that I mentioned last week, 20-year-old, that was killed by the car backing up over top of him. They had the funeral yesterday. And my son Andrew was there with his kids. And he said they had, you know, they put all these different pictures of special memories of the person that passed away up to look at. And they said, and I was watching him, and hey, this looks familiar. They were flashing up pictures of kids' camp. He could be saved in heaven today because of kids' camp, what God did in his life. You just never know the result it's going to be. So you just make yourself available to start investing in other people. When you get to heaven someday, a lot of them are probably going to mob you and say, hey, I'm in heaven because of you. See, Cindy, I still do it because this is the goodness of God. It should bring tears to our eyes. We should be serious about this, shouldn't we? Who would want anybody to go to hell? Who would want anybody to miss out on what God has for them? Even the worst person in your life. I hope you wouldn't want them to go to hell. So God, I just pray that today's message and next week's, as far as the specifics, would light a fire inside of every one of us. That we would want to invest our time, our money, our energy, and our everything into other people. And you're going to have to be the one to guide us and put your finger on one or two people to start with. And at least over the long haul, I know we'll see results. Begin to birth that excitement inside of us for next week, for this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Zach's up here too. That's right, he's not from California anymore. He's down by Towerville, going to college down there.